I'm Morgan Springer from Next and the New England News Collaborative. Elizabeth Marshall Thomas has spent most of her life observing the natural world and writing about it. Elizabeth has written 14 books over her half-century career, including the New York Times best-selling book, The Hidden Life of Dogs. Her new book is called Growing Old, Notes on Aging with Something Like Grace, which came out this year. Elizabeth Marshall Thomas is 88 years old, and she joins us by Zoom from her home in New Hampshire to talk about the book. Elizabeth, welcome to Next.
Well, thank you for having me. Gosh.
On the sleeve of the book, there's a picture of you lighting a cigarette from the candles of a cake that's for your 88th birthday. What's that about?
Well, it's that I smoke. I mean, I know you shouldn't, and I know it's very bad, but I do it anyway. But on the other hand, it said that 2/3 of the people who smoke die of smoking, but that means that 1/3 of them don't. And somebody has to be in that 1/3, so I figure might as well.
I feel like it also shows, I haven't met you, but through reading your book, you seem to have a fun and humorous spirit, and that kind of is indicative of it, yeah?
Yeah, I like things that are funny, yeah, very much.
In the book, you say life while aging can be wonderful. It's just wonderful in a different way than it was when you were young. Now, when you were younger, you spent 3 years among the San people in the Kalahari Desert, and you wrote about them. You spent a summer alone in a cave in the Arctic studying wolves, and you wrote about that. Is part of the message of the book that while life might be different and simpler now, it's just as pleasurable?
That's exactly true. I mean, other things are also pleasurable. You don't have to be in a cave in the Arctic to have a good time. Writing is pleasurable. It's my favorite thing. I enjoy taking walks. I enjoy the landscape here. I enjoy looking at animals. We have deer come in the field, and there was a bear the other day. He was very interesting. I mean, that kind of thing.
In the book, you talk about how people in their 50s will say, oh, I'm so old. And at 88, your perspective on 50-year-old is completely different. Can you talk about that?
To me, 50 is childhood. I mean, not quite, but kind of grown children, but very young. I mean, when I'm 80, my kids are 60. 60 seems young. I mean, 60 is young. My favorite years, frankly, were 50, 60, and 70.
What did you love about those years?
I just had a good time. I was healthy. I could do everything that I could always do, mostly. I mean, I used to be able to lift 100 pounds. I don't know if I could when I was 60, but I could lift 80 pounds. Now I can lift 10 pounds. I mean, there comes a point where you feel you've gone downhill. Before that, you don't have that feeling.
You describe this interaction with your neighbor in the book. She comes over to visit you. She brings you soup, and you invite her in to talk for a little while. And I'm wondering if you could read the passage on page 13 from that point.
Yes, gladly. She asks if you're in good health. You tell her you are. And then she talks about the weather. But she's visiting you because you're old. And her talk turns to other old people she knows. She reveals their medical issues. One has arthritis. Another has osteoporosis. And a third is getting dementia. You also have arthritis, and when you express your sympathy, your neighbor sees she just reminded you that your body is failing. She chooses a more appropriate topic. My grandmother is 93, she says brightly. My great aunt lived to 98. You ponder this. When you were in your 30s, your neighbors didn't tell you they knew people in their 40s. Your neighbor sees you as a walking cadaver. Her demise isn't imminent, but yours is.
I feel like there's so much in there, which is like humor, but also this experience of maybe people acting what could be perceived as oddly the older you get. What do you get out of that passage?
I think that happens. I think it's very common to count into what you're saying the fact that you realize that people are old and you're trying to get them away from it or something like that.
You also say in the book that, quote, many younger people don't really like old people and that they're prejudiced against them. Where do you see this prejudice come out most in your experience?
Oh, it comes out a lot, everywhere. I searched, when I was writing this book, I searched through the internet for jokes about old people, and there's zillions of them, and they're all 99% are about women peeing in their pants. They really aren't very funny. Speaking of respect for older people and the cultures that have the respect for older people, things like this would never, ever happen.
Yeah, you talk about how the cultures you've studied, elders were revered, and they were still considered useful because they could offer guidance based on their memories of the past. Now, as you write, we have written records for that. And you say, quote, "Our society respects old people only if they're famous, and often not even then." What are some of the things you'd like to see younger generations do to show more respect and to stop acting prejudiced?
They'll find out soon enough when they get old. But I don't see how it's possible to achieve that. I don't think that younger people are ever going to, in this culture, not with the culture we've got, it isn't going to happen. So my grandmother was born during the Civil War. So she didn't know about telephones until she was maybe in her 70s. And she was afraid of telephones. Well, I am equally afraid of computers. I mean, I had to have my son help me get this together, and because we're talking via a computer. And
yeah, I appreciate that.
I mean, I was just in a nervous wreck while he was.
Oh my gosh! I'm so sorry.
Oh no! Don't be. He did. He succeeded because here we are. But the thought of me doing that myself is just unimaginable. And since our culture has moved so far forward with technology, I suspect that that's going to be true, you know, for the next generations.
Another thing you describe in the book is this feeling of being erased.
Yes, well, I think that comes in with respect for elderly people. I think people certainly don't ask you what you think about things because everything has changed since you had the ability to think, according to them. And very seldom do people, in my experience anyway, people don't ask you about the past or how things were at one time because they don't care. It's how things are now that matter, and you don't have the same grip on the things now that they do. And that's just true.
As you write, and we all, of course, know, the conclusion of old age is death.
Yeah.
Are you afraid of dying?
No. No, I've never been. I know it's going to happen. I mean, it's not that I want it, but I'll probably die in the next few years, if not sooner. I mean, you know, that's what happens.
You say that before you die, you should prepare, mostly to ease the burden on loved ones. And toward the end of the book, you outline your plans, and you even write your own obituary with a couple, like, fill-in-the-blank parts.
I'm not sure I'll use it, but I hope they will. It's a little long.
I don't know. I liked it. I enjoyed it. But for listeners who haven't read the book, can you just explain your plans and why you made the specific choices that you did?
My husband was cremated, so I think I want to be cremated because I want to be in, and I want to be in the same grave with my parents and my husband and my dogs who are there. I mean, also they should do what they want. I mean, you're not going to care because you'll be dead.
Yeah. What would be your advice, or do you have any advice for someone like me who is younger about aging?
Gosh, I would just not think about it too much. I would just enjoy things and take things as they come. You don't need to prepare for aging. It happens slowly. And you get used to it a little bit at a time. You forget names, and then you forget verbs, but you already were forgetting names. I mean, it's not some horrible shock. It's just a little more than you had before, and you were dealing with that. And so that really is how it goes.
Well, thank you so much for that advice and for talking to me today. I really appreciate it.
A pleasure.
That was Elizabeth Marshall Thomas, the author of many books, and most recently, Growing Old, Notes on Aging with Something Like Grace, which came out this year. She lives in New Hampshire. Listen to Next on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.